Good morning. It's time for our hymn sing. And by the way, I am wearing red right there. It's a little hard to see, but it's right there. The holy flame on the cross. Time for our hymn sing. If you have a favorite selection, please raise your hand and we will call on you. 569 verses 1 and 4. 1 and 4, 569. We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a Savior to show to the nations, who the path of sorrow hath trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God, might come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. Very nice. Yes, Lita.
534.
1 and 3 of 534. Be still, my soul. Still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, God faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed we shall meet at last. Very nice. And another selection, someone? Anyone?
251.
Mary jumps up to save the day. And which verse? Oh, it's only 1 and 3? Okay, 1 and 3. What was the number again? 251? You tell it on the mountain, okay. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. I think we have time for one more. Someone else have a favorite, please? I'm sorry. You want to defer? Okay, 138. 138 and 1 and 6. Continue with our service. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome you all to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. Thank you for that beautiful music, Colleen. I have a few announcements. It's great to have so many guests with us today. Welcome to our church. Hope you enjoy the service today and it's meaningful for you. Please, everybody, sign in on the red pew pads at the end of your pew and hand it down to the next person so that they can sign in. There are blue cards in front of you in your pews. If you have a prayer request, please drop it in the plate as you leave there to your right as you leave the sanctuary. I'd like to invite everyone to coffee and fellowship through the breezeway after the service. I want to wish a happy birthday to all of the June birthdays out there. We have Dina Barwick, Dan Anderson, Mick Gibson, Lynn Stiff, June Fisher, Joan Fox, Stephen Michael, Joyce Schmidt, and Marlene Humphreys. Happy birthday to you all. The June newsletter is available in the narthex as you leave today. You can also get it by email. If you want to read it online, just let the office know. The next pastor's luncheon is this Wednesday, June 11th at noon at the Legend China 8 restaurant in Kalamasa. The price is $15, so please sign up if you plan to attend so that the pastor can make sure that we have the adequate amount of food for everybody. The free Saturday movie is coming up on June 14th at 11 a.m. It is The Bridge to Terabithia. It'll be shown in Faith Theater 2. Please join us if you can. There's always great snacks, and the movie should be really good this time. Our next book club meeting will be Tuesday, June 17th in the Camellia Room and also available on Zoom. It's at 10 a.m. And the book to be discussed is The Woman with the Cure by Lynn Cullen. And then after that, there will be no further meetings until September. Are there any other announcements?
Encouraging you to come and join the pastor's luncheon this Wednesday, if you haven't. And I know Marianne's going to spoil us again with a delicious dessert. So come and enjoy the food and the camaraderie.
Yes, it's always a very nice time, and the food is delicious. So please join me now in the call to worship. Stand as you are able. O God, the Holy Spirit, come to us and among us. Come as the wind and cleanse us.
Come as the fire and burn. Come as the dew and refresh.
Convict, convert, and consecrate many hearts and lives.
To our great good and to thy greater glory.
This we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. And our opening hymn today is number 539, O Spirit of the Living God.
O Spirit of the Living God, the Lord and Fire Divine, descend upon thy church once more and make it truly thine. Fill it with love and joy and power, with righteousness and peace. Till Christ shall dwell in human heart and sin and sorrow cease. Blow, wind of God, with reason blow, until our minds are free from mists of error, clouds of doubt, which blinds our eyes to thee. Burn with the fire, inspire our lips with flaming love and zeal, to preach to all thy great good news, thus glorious come on we. Teach us to utter living words of truth which all may hear. The language all may understand when love speaks loud and clear. Till every age and race and clime shall blend their creeds in one. And up shall form one family by whom thy will is done.
Are we doing the
passing of the peace?
It is now time for the passing of the peace.
All right, let's welcome all those who are online. So good to see you, Helen, as usual. Helen, for those of you who do not know Helen, Helen is the oldest member of the church. She will be celebrating her 105th birthday in September, and yes, all excited about that. And Helen is with a daughter in Chico, California, but she always comes on Zoom to worship with us. So good to see you, Helen. And also June and Joyce, they are down in Golden Oaks in retirement home, and they are our faithful worshipers as well. Kenny is in Georgia. Apparently, Kenny, you know, John Wesley and Charles Wesley came to Savannah, Georgia to preach the gospel to the Indians. And Kenny is close to that area and has a lot of memorials, the gardens, and you know, structures built in memory of the Wesley brothers. And Kenny sent me some pictures of them. So, welcome, Chris. I also like to welcome all those related to Dan. Dan will be baptized today. Dan's three children have come, and Dan's neighbor has joined us today. And we have one couple, Ray and Sherry, visiting us today. So welcome.
Good morning. Can you thank you. I'm making a little plug here first. The PEO group that meets here is collecting tabs, pull tabs, for Ronald McDonald House. There's going to be a jar back in Fellowship Hall, but there's also some labels if you'd like to take on the script table so that you can make your own jar at home to collect the pull tabs. Ronald McDonald House helps families with sick children so that the families can stay with the children, and it's good for everybody. So this is a good thing to support.
Hello, I'm brand new. I'm Sherry, but I wanted to give a testimony to Ronald McDonald House. My daughter, when she was 11 years old, had a best friend in Fountain Valley who ended up with a melanoma on her head, and she went through particular treatment that was really very new. There were no radiation, no chemo, but she was taken care of entirely with her family in Ronald McDonald House, and they desperately needed it because they couldn't afford that with all the care they had. So just want to encourage people. It's a great charity.
And would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm George Root.
I'm Kathy Root.
George and Kathy Root, thank you for joining us. Nice
Dan's
to meet
neighbors.
You.
Dan, actually, Dan and Mary's neighbors in the retirement community.
All right.
I want to thank everybody for all the prayers for the last 3 years and the two miracles that have happened here with my eye. But there's been some change. You know, the cancer is gone, the double vision is gone, but I cannot get the glaucoma under control at all. And I have so much pain in that eye, and I've lost 95% of the vision. I'm meeting with the doctor on Tuesday, and with a long, hard decision, I've decided to have the eye removed because it's not really doing me any good. And it's been very, very hard. So I just ask for everybody to keep me in prayer because this has been a long, long, hard decision to make. And everybody here has been so good helping us go through this decision. And I still take the hand of God, the two miracles that I've had here with this eye, but it's time to say goodbye. And I, making lightly of this, I tell my kids, you can now call me the one-eyed flying purple people eater.
Good morning. I'm not much of a computer person, but I do have a computer, and I can use it to pay bills and communicate and things like that, but I can't do anything off the wall. So every morning I check the computer, and during the night, that must be when they send everything, because I got a couple of pages of emails and I end up deleting most of them. What you heard from Lorraine right now, that's just one little thing in a long history. She has had more trauma in her life than anybody I have ever even heard of. If they made a movie or a TV program about her life, everybody would say nobody could have gone through that much stuff in one lifetime. She came along for me right when I needed her, and we have just been the perfect match. I thank God every day for her. And one of the things that I usually have on my computer when I got is a daily inspirational quotes or whatever. I got one today, and usually I just delete it, but I says, come over here, I want you to sit down here and read this. This applies to her. It's by Charles Dickens. It says, I have been bent and I have been broken, but I hope into a better shape. Amen.
Amen. And Sophie, by the way, she's wearing red too. A little church mascot.
Good morning, I'm Trudy Baird, and I'd like to introduce my friend came to see us this morning, Taya Barron, and hopefully she'll come again when we have a good song. Anyway, maybe even for some of the other activities, but I welcome Taya. Thank
welcome.
You.
Welcome. Welcome.
Good morning, my name is Pat Shores. I think last week was Mother's Day, and I sat back here and I had planned to say something nice about my mother, but Deb comes down and nobody in the whole church had raised their hand and said a thing about their mother, and I thought, well, I guess I shouldn't either, so I didn't. And then I was mad at myself all week that I hadn't bothered to tell you people what a wonderful mother I had. She was just wonderful. I'm one of nine children. I think she worked hard, not going to work or not getting paid, but taking care of us. She was a great cook. You know, she did laundry. No, she didn't do any on Sunday, but she did two or three loads several times a week. It was when you had a clothesline and you had to hang your clothes outside. We didn't have a dryer. Anyway, she was just a terrific mother, and I felt so bad all week that I hadn't even brought up her name last week on Mother's Day. So I'm telling you now that she was great.
I know your mom is proud of you and all the rest of your kids.
Hi, I got a coma patch. Doing really well and crying, getting to move in katanas. Wow.
Great job, Katie. Keep it up,
keep it up. I owe you an explanation. A coma is a Japanese weapon that's used to cut rice with. And to get the patch, you have two of them. And they look like little miniature Grim Reaper sickles. But I guess the bad guys will be more afraid to meet Katie than that guy.
As I just walked in, I just hope that everyone will keep all the graduates in their prayers. They've got quite a future ahead of them, and I know there are a lot of scary times, so if we can keep them, our community, and the vulnerable people in our prayers, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. 598 graduates at Yucaipa High School? That's quite a crowd. If there's anybody on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute.
It is now time for our unison prayer, if you will please join me. Dear Lord Jesus, you have promised the Holy Spirit, our ever-present companion, to be with us during life's long journey. Pour out your Spirit to revive all your believers and restore all your churches. Ignite within us a passion to love God and embrace the sin-sick souls. Comfort us in our loneliness and guide us into your truth. Empower us to overcome all challenges and be victorious. With your Holy Spirit, all things are possible. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
And let us continue our prayers in silence. I'd like especially ask you to pray for the revival of the churches, not just here in our communities, but in our state, in our nation, and all throughout the world. Let us continue our prayers. Lord Jesus Christ, as we come together as one community of faith, as one united in faith, acknowledging that you are the risen Christ, you are with us now and forever, you promised the Holy Spirit to be with us as well, so that we can draw near to you and receive the courage, strength, peace, grace, empowerment, comfort, assurance, everything we need in our faith journey. We acknowledge that we often face many challenges, troubles. We go through times of doubt and times of discouragement. And we sometimes have difficulty to find you and find your will in our lives. But, oh Lord, when we come to you, we always see you there right before us. We can talk to you. We can pour out our cares and concerns, worries, cause of depression, and all the problems we can bring unto you. And there, as we have close communion, we find relief. We find deliverance from all our troubles. So we humbly come and open ourselves, open our whole being, and invite you and your Holy Spirit to come and touch us, empower us, heal us. There's nothing impossible with you and with your Holy Spirit. So we appeal to you, O Lord, and ask you to do it again as you did on the day of first Pentecost. Do it again, O Lord. Empower us. Give us the vision. Enable us to speak new languages of hope, new languages of possibilities. So we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us, to empower us, to surround us with your presence, that we may see you again more clearly, that we may experience your power once more. So, Lord, we rely upon you, Holy Spirit, for we are weak. But you are strong. So we come to you, O Lord, as we worship you together, and we open our whole selves so that your presence, your power may have a full control over our lives, over this church, over our communities, over this nation and the world, that we may experience another Pentecost right here in this place. So now, acknowledging your presence, your sovereignty in our lives, we now join our prayers, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen.
It is now time for our Young at Hearts moment.
Today's story is Grumpy Monkey, Spring Fever. Written by Suzanne Lang, illustrated by Max Lang. One spectacular spring day, Jim Pansy woke feeling silly. He leapt off his branch and ran through the jungle, laughing and shouting. "Why do I feel so silly?" Jim wondered. "Maybe you have spring fever," suggested Norman from next door. "Spring fever?" said Jim. "Oh, no!" And off he ran. "What's the matter, Jim?" asked Water Buffalo. "I need to find a cure for my spring fever," said Jim. "Spring fever isn't really a fever," said Water Buffalo. "It's when the spring weather gives you lots of energy." "You need to calm down," said Oxpecker. The other animals tried to help Jim calm down. "You should take a bath, but try not to splash. You should wrap yourself in warm blankets and take calming breaths. You should take a nap. You should drink tea or sniff some lavender. You should be quiet and sit still. You should put cucumber slices on your eyes and take a time out." Finally, Jim looked calm, but he didn't feel calm inside. "I don't want to be calm," Jim shouted. "Jim's spring fever is getting worse. Everyone, stay away from him so you don't catch it," shrieked Oxpecker. All of Jim's energy turned into anger. "Catch this," yelled Jim. He was about to throw a cucumber at Oxpecker. When Norman showed up, "Are you okay?" Norman asked. "No," said Jim. "I can't get rid of my spring fever, and now I have too much energy." "Having lots of energy is a good thing," said Norman. "Just enjoy your spring fever and do spring things." "Spring things?" said Jim. "What are spring things?" The other animals had lots of ideas for spring things Jim could do. You could decorate eggs and hide them and try to find them. You could wear a bonnet. You could pet baby animals. You could play ball. You could splash colors on your friends. You could plant flowers and give a few to your mom. You could listen to a long story and then eat a special dinner. You could climb a tree. Jim felt like doing all of that, and so he put on a bonnet, petted some baby animals, listened to a story, ate a special dinner, and planted and picked and gifted and climbed and played and splashed and painted and hid and searched and shouted, "I have spring fever and I don't care who knows it." Jim was having so much fun, the other animals wanted to join in. "I've caught Jim's spring fever," said Oxpecker. "Us too," said the others. "It's a spectacular day to have spring fever," said Norman. Everyone agreed. And off they ran, laughing and shouting through the jungle. The end. Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. John 17:11. May we be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit always. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 347, the Spirit Song.
Satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you, and his spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs, Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Oh, come and sing this song with gladness, as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hand in sweet surrender to his name. Oh, give him all your tears and sadness, give him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name.
Scripture reading today is from 2 Kings chapter 2 verses 7 through 15. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, and they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, and the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Elisha succeeds Elijah.
He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. He said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Where is he?" He struck the water again, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha crossed over. When the company of prophets who were at Jericho saw him at a distance, they declared, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." They came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So happy to see you here in this beautiful place of worship. And I pray that all of us will receive the not only the word that God has prepared for each and every one of us, but also the power of the Holy Spirit as we celebrate the Pentecost Sunday today. According to the Chicago Tribune, on February 21, 1995, Jeanine Carmet of Arles, France, celebrated her 120th birthday. She was verifiably the oldest person in the world and had become somewhat of a celebrity in France. France's Minister of Health came to her birthday party. Three books had been written about her. Medical scientists have researched her life to try to discover the secret of her longevity. They found that for years, now this is a secret, she ate 2 pounds of chocolate a week. She smoked moderately until age 117. Don't try this at home, though. She cooked with olive oil, something that you want to try. She took vigorous walks and even rode her bike through the streets of Arles until she was 100. At age 110, she said with good humor, "I had to wait 110 years to become famous. I intend to enjoy it as long as possible." But by age 120, she was confined to a wheelchair. "I see badly," she said. "I hear badly. I can't feel anything, but everything is fine." Someone asked Carmont what kind of future she expected. Still displaying her good humor, she replied, "A very short one." We have great examples like Jeanine Carmen at our own church. As I just explained about Helen, she will be celebrating her 105th birthday in September. And some of you know, and some of you haven't met, but Ed Elliott, a previous member, enjoyed a wonderful life of 106 years, remaining active almost until his last days. I pray that many of you, if not all of you, will break Helen's and Ed's record. So be prepared. Our misconception about aging is that people do not and cannot accomplish much in old age. This is not true. The Bible recounts individuals who lived extraordinarily long. Deuteronomy 34:7 states, "Moses was 120 years old when he died, and yet his eyes were not weak, and his vitality had not diminished." Advanced medicine and self-care contribute to longevity, but above all, God's blessing is the very force behind a healthy lifestyle, which certainly contributes to longevity. Some of you may plan to simplify your life and get rid of things to prepare for the day. I recommend that you do that with discernment. Otherwise, you may still be here when you turn 120. And you may still need some of the things that you get rid of it today. And by the way, just want to remind you that Marion is getting rid of a lot of stuff. She has brought so many plants to the church. So go to the fellowship hall and pick up the plants that you'd like to keep it, because she's donating them all. Today, we will reflect on the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to every believer in every age, young or old, for powerful living. The call of Elisha provides insight into the believer's powerful living. God instructed Elijah to anoint Elisha to succeed him as a prophet. Anointing was a traditional method of appointing new kings and prophets during Old Testament times. In Exodus 30, God gave Moses a specific recipe for blending olive oil with fragrant spices to anoint the tabernacle, its furnishings, and the priest. The anointing oil was sacred that only appointed, skilled perfume makers could compound the ingredient into this special oil. For the anointing of kings, prophets used olive oil, which symbolized the power of God. The Spirit of God descended and rested upon the anointed, and you know what the anointed means in Hebrew. It means it's Messiah, the anointed. Elisha did not follow this tradition when anointing Elisha, but chose a different approach. Shortly after receiving the command from God, Elisha found Elisha in the field, plowing. Elisha was supposed to carry the anointing oil in a ram's horn and pour it over Elisha's head. Instead, he wrapped his cloak around Elisha. Another event related to Elijah's cloak occurred when Elijah was taken to heaven. Sensing that the time for Elijah's departure was approaching, Elisha closely followed him. They stood in the Jordan River, where Elijah took his cloak and struck the water with it. The water divided, enabling them to cross on dry ground. Before leaving the earth, Elijah asked Elisha what he could do for him. Elisha boldly requested, "I want a double portion of your spirit." As the chariot of fire took Elijah away, his cloak fell. Elisha picked it up, struck the Jordan with it, and the water divided for him to cross, demonstrating that the spirit and power upon Elijah had now been transferred to Elisha. This act of giving and receiving the cloak represent several aspects of the Holy Spirit's work in the lives of believers. And let me highlight a couple. Firstly, it signifies transformation, making the end of the old self and the emergence of a new identity. When Aaron and his sons were appointed as priests, God instructed Moses to dress them in priestly garment and anoint them with oil. This ancient tradition of giving a cloak to those chosen for ministry continues today through ordination, whereby those ordained transition from lay people to ministers of God. Spiritually, this applies to every believer. When God calls us out of the world, He clothes us with the Holy Spirit. We refer to this as being born again or conversion. It's noteworthy that Elisha did something significant before he picked up Elijah's cloak. He tore his clothes in two, symbolizing the destruction of his old identity. When the Holy Spirit descends upon us, our old selves are enveloped in Christ's love and power, along with our sins. Our old selves die, and Christ comes in to reign over our entire being. The Apostle Paul articulated this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Secondly, it signifies the impartation of the Holy Spirit. When Elisha received a cloak from Elijah instead of anointment, he received the Holy Spirit and his power from Elijah. Elisha was literally clothed in the divine power that had worked in Elijah. The Bible records many instances of the impartation of the Holy Spirit through touching, the laying on of hands, and anointing with oil. A woman with a serious bleeding problem touched the edge of Jesus' cloak, and her bleeding stopped immediately. Jesus sensed that his power had gone out from him to her. In Acts 19, when handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched Paul were taken to the sick, the diseases and evil spirits left them. This is not difficult to understand. When you are around someone who is joyful, that person's joy transfers to you. Similarly, when you are close to someone who is depressed, you may feel down as well. When we worship together, singing and praising God, the worshipper's faith and their joy in living in Christ drive out doubt and negativity within us. When we associate with a person of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit imparts from that person to us. This is why having a Spirit-filled friend and belonging to a Spirit-filled church is so important. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be with us and empower us until the end. The era of the Holy Spirit began on the first Pentecost, and we continue to live in that era. In Acts 2, Peter quoted the prophet Joel on the day of Pentecost and said, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Note here that there is no age discrimination when God pours out His Spirit. The anointing or being clothed with the Holy Spirit is available to us today. The question is, are we reaching for it? We may not ask for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit due to our misconception about aging. While we would request more health and strength from God when we are young, we often do not do so at this age. We feel as though our lives are nearly over. We think it is wise to accept our weaknesses and come to terms with them. But what does the Bible say about old age? God used countless older individuals in shaping history. That is His story, God's story. Let me give you two examples. Noah was over 500 years old when God called him to build the ark. The Apostle John was in his late 80s or early 90s when God instructed him to write the book of Revelation. Some might argue that the people in the Bible were not ordinary individuals. They were. James 5:17 states that Elijah was a human being just like us. He prayed honestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Let me provide you with real examples, those who defy the aging process as we understand it. The renowned German philosopher Immanuel Kant wrote one of his most significant philosophical works at the age of 74 in the early 19th century. A highly influential Italian opera composer of the 19th century, Verdi, wrote Ave Maria at age 85. Michelangelo was 87 when he finished his greatest sculpture, the Pietà, which depicts the Virgin Mary holding the lifeless body of Jesus. Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States at 75. Two presidents after Reagan broke that record at the age of 78. Everyone gets old, but that doesn't mean we should feel powerless. Our bodies may grow older, but our spirits never do. You know, some of you ladies feel like that you are still teenage girls, because that's the proof that our spirit never gets old. Our body maybe, but our spirit doesn't. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Jesus promised us powerful living through the Holy Spirit. But why do we feel so powerless? Paul Dawson from Pendleton, Oregon, shed light on this. While visiting Grand Coulee Dam, my family and I were surprised to see that the visitor center was dark. It was a sunny day, so we thought the center might have tinted window. As we got closer, we realized no lights were on. We went in and saw that none of the displays were working. It soon became clear that there was no power to that center. Due to a technical difficulty, the visitor center that sat only hundreds of feet from the hydroelectric dam had no power. How could something be so close to the power source yet not be plugged in? The Holy Spirit's power is available to us. All we have to do is open ourselves to the movement of the Holy Spirit and ask Him to come in and empower us. As Elisha asked Elijah, "Lord, I want a double portion of your Spirit." We may be humble like an earthen vessel, but our earthen vessel can be the container that houses the Holy Spirit. When this happens, we can become a powerful instrument for God's kingdom here on earth. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite Dan, and maybe if you would, all your families, and then friends come and surround Dan. Please come forward. And it wasn't something that I didn't plan or even then plan. But this is a meaningful that Dan is going to be baptized on this Pentecost Sunday. And we will all ask God's Spirit to come and fill Dan as he's being baptized. Bring your, you didn't bring it? We'll grab one. Yes. Kneel down. Can you do that? Okay. All right. The church is of God and will be preserved to the end of time for the conduct of worship and due administration of God's word and sacrament, the maintenance of Christian fellowship and discipline, the edification of believers, and the conversion of the world. All of every age and station stand in need of the means of grace, which it alone supplies. For as much as all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, our Christ Savior said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, one cannot enter the kingdom of God. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we call upon thee for these thy servant, that they may, coming to thy holy baptism, may receive remission of their sins and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive them, O Lord, as thou hast promised by thy well-beloved Son, and grant that they may be faithful to thee all the days of their lives and finally come to the eternal kingdom which thou hast promised through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that the people of God said, amen. 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 Thank you. I'm going to ask you then, and you can... I'm going to ask then, do you truly, honestly repent of your sin?
I do.
Great. Do you believe in God the Father?
I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I do.
Great. Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament? Now, one more. Do you desire to be baptized
in his faith? Yes, I do.
Great. Dan Eugene Anderson, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit conform you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. And let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
You know, what I'd like to do at this time, today is a very, not only, you know, to Dan, it's a meaningful day to all of us. And it's a Pentecost Sunday in addition to that. So after there will be a prayer that we're going to pray all together, and you will see that in there. Okay, I'd like to invite you to come and lay hand on him. Okay, so please feel free to come forward, and let's lay hand on him and pray together. Okay. Brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care Dan E. Anderson, whom we this day receive into the membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. Let us pray together. We rejoice to recognize you as a member of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gift, and our service. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ, that surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and conform and strengthen in the way that leads to eternal life. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you now and forever. Amen. So if you would, please come forward. Let's pray together. Okay? Lay hands upon him and pray together. Please come. Please come. You can touch the back of the person standing in front of you, or touch the shoulder, however you can, so that we can be all connected as one. Okay? Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you have been the guide. You have been the provider. You have been the ever-present companion for Dan all this time, unto this day. So we thank you as we acknowledge what you have done to Dan. Lord Jesus, you know Dan, and you love Dan so much. You gave your son to save him from all the sins and death. And we pray, O Lord, that you enter into him by the power of your Holy Spirit and remove all the weakness that he's been dealing with recently. Pour your Holy Spirit unto him, O Lord, and make him strong, make him whole, make him healthy, that all the weakness may disappear. So we ask your healing unto Dan in Jesus' name, in the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to bless him and fill him with your Holy Spirit, that he can continue on with the strength that you provide for him. And I also ask your blessing upon all his children, his friends, that they continue to be the support for his faith journey. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Congratulations, and welcome to the house of God, Dan. And, you know, so don't go yet. Don't go back yet. Lauren, would you come? We'd like to pray. And Ron, if you would, bring her over. And you can stand back, Dan.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Or then you will not sit at the pew in there, if you would.
Yeah. Right here?
No, go sit in there comfortably. Great. Let's place our hands too. Lord
Jesus, we thank you for the blessing of healing that you have provided
for Lauren. you have shown the miracle, not just twice that we have witnessed at our church, but all through her life. You have been there. You have been so faithful. We know that you love her so dearly. And Lord, she has made a painful decision, but we just pray, oh Lord, your power is available, and we ask your power and your presence upon her. And if it's your will, oh Lord, give her the healing from your Holy Spirit. We ask your Holy Spirit to enter into her and fill her, fill her body, fill her being, and touch the areas that the medications cannot reach, the doctors cannot do anything, but you can with your Holy Spirit. We believe that everything is possible. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you to empower her, to manifest your love unto her, and heal her for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Thank you. We love you, too. We love you, too. Dan is quite a guy. And I have kind of learned a little bit that he's a macho man, and his macho personality has been transferred to all his children.
It is now time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. As you leave the church, there's a plate to your right if you'd like to give there, or you can bring it to the office. And now we have special music by our choir.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them who fear him.
Oh,
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he belong. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, his power of needs. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, we are forever grateful for your redeeming grace. We are forever grateful for your everlasting presence in our life and for your Holy Spirit, who is our lifelong companion. So, Lord, as we acknowledge what you have done in our lives, we are filled with gratitude and thanksgiving and give you this small token of our thankful heart. We ask you to receive it, bless it for your kingdom here in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn can be found in your insert of your bulletin. Let thy mantle fall on me.
Upon each and every churches here on earth, that we may experience the revival of our soul, that there may be a great spiritual awakening everywhere in the world, that we may be your faithful disciple to continue to build your church, continue to proclaim the message of salvation. So empower us with your Holy Spirit, and use us as your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.
strong and